Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started again with Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we just come before you to say thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you on this day as we are reminded of the events that took place, for the sacrifice that you made in our lives, Jesus. We are grateful. We say thank you for your precious blood the blood that speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. We are grateful for this blood, and we thank you as we plead this blood over ourselves, our families, and our children, and everything that you have blessed us with in this life, and everyone whom you've blessed us with in this life. We are so grateful for this precious blood. We say thank you, Jesus, for this sacrifice that you made for us. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God. We welcome you into our homes, into our lives, and onto this broadcast. We ask you to have your way in us this morning. Lead us and guide us into all truth. We thank you for opening our eyes. We thank you for granting us the spirit of revelation and wisdom. We are grateful to you this morning. As we pray these cautions prayers over ourselves, we ask that you pray alongside us. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding of spiritual an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And we thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. With thanksgiving, we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this morning we want to conclude on the what we've been discussing, the revelation of the Word of God. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 60 this morning. Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 1 to 3, it says, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all the peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And so we've been talking about the power of revelation, that revelation, once we get the revelation of the Word of God, or insight in the Word of God, that's what causes us to ride prosperously. Once we find the Word that it concerns our situation, we meditate upon it, we gain insight on it, we apply that word correctly to our situation, then, you know, we find that victory is delivered into our hands. And so this verse is really telling us that, you know, the revelation is the cure for shame and reproach, because once light comes, when the light of God comes, and it says the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's actually, I like the Amplified Version, which says, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you, and rise to your new life." And why? Because the light, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So that light there, speaking of having that revelation, the light we've been talking about. And so by reason of the revelation that you have, for your shame, you shall have double. We also know the Lord said that for every shame of you, that you have endured, you shall have double restoration of honor. Amen. And this is what this is telling us. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Be radiant, because the glory has come upon you. Amen. So we also know that revelation guarantees our dominion here on earth. In John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "And the light shines on in darkness, for for the darkness has never overpowered it or put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it and is unreceptive to it. So again, it's like, you know, continuing talking about light. You know, no matter how dark it may be in a situation, when light comes, darkness cannot stop light from shining. And so when the Bible makes reference to this light, it's talking about gaining revelation. Like I said yesterday, that is so important that we have revelation. It's not enough just to study the Word of God, but we need to study it to show ourselves approved. We saw in the book of 2 Timothy that we are told that we need to study the Word to show ourselves approved, rightly, you know, dividing the Word of God. In fact, in Amplified Version, the Bible says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing and rightly handling and skillfully teaching the Word of truth. Amen. So, you know, whenever we encounter situations, you know, first of all, there's no promise in the Word of God that, you know, things will go through life, you know, without ever encountering, you know, situations or trials, especially when you're born again. Jesus actually promised that in this world you shall have trials and tribulations. And so he says, you know, but be of good cheer because I've already overcome all those situations. That doesn't necessarily mean that because he said that he's already overcome, it means that you and I should not encounter those. No. The reason why he has, you know, it means that the end of the matter is already decided, which is victory. However, in order for us to arrive at that end, we have to walk it through, you know, walk out those, you know, that, you know, those trials and tribulations. And so in order for us to walk through these situations that we encounter in our lives, we will need the Word of God. We need the revelation of the Word of God. And so no matter how dark it seems in your situation, when you have revelation, light comes. I like how David, or you know, in Psalm 119, verse 130, he says, "The entrance and unfolding of your words gives light. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple." But he says, the first portion is what I really want. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. That means that when the truth of God is unfolded, light is infused. And when light is infused, your dominion over darkness is established. Now remember that right from the beginning, when God created man, one of the attributes he gave to man, well, one of the things he said in Genesis 1:26, after he made man, and he said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, you know, and let him have dominion over the earth." You and I, as creatures of God, in fact, especially as children of God, we have been given, you know, like Jesus said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of God," but also you and I are supposed to be dominating on this earth. We have dominion over the earth. In fact, even Jesus, when he came, he said, "I, you know, all power has been given unto me, and so therefore I give you power, you know, over all this, you know, over the devil, over the enemy, and all over all the power of the enemy." So we have the power, you know, we have authority over all the power of the enemy, and we can, and he said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you," but we don't exercise our authority. And the reason we don't exercise our authority is because most times we don't have this light. We don't have the revelation of who we are. When you have light of who you are and know, you know, who you are and what you are capable of, you know, accomplishing here on this earth, then when you walk around with that revelation, then you will have dominion over whatever darkness in whatever area in your life that the enemy may try to bring that darkness to. You know, we know that Satan and his cohorts could not stop Jesus, the living word, because he's the living light. Everywhere that Jesus appeared, you know, the enemy and his agents, they cried out in fear and desperation. Why? Because they couldn't, you know, they couldn't stand the light. You know, they couldn't withstand him. So Jesus didn't go about looking, you know, for darkness, but every time he entered a place where there was darkness, every time he encountered people whom had been, you know, overshadowed by darkness, the light that was in him brought, you know, healing, brought deliverance into those people's lives. Well, we are told Jesus is the Word. And so when you and I become committed to searching and seeking the Word of God, you know, studying the Word of God, you know, finding that word that we need. Because, you know, it's not the entire Bible that you need. I mean, you have to study the entire Bible, you know, and that's why we break it down with our Bible reading plan so that you can study it bit by bit. But, you know, of course, you should study more than just the 3 chapters a day or so. If you have time, you should get into, you know, studying each book on its own and understanding what that book is talking about. But when you become committed to the Word of God and you become a word hunter, hunting for the Word that God has for you, you will find that scripture that you can stand on that will bring a revolution in your life. You've heard of people who said, you know, they were given this particular Word of God and it just transformed them. Just one verse transformed their entire life. I mean, it affected every area of their lives, everything that was negative in their life. You know, so God doesn't need to give us 10 scriptures or 100, you know, 1,000 promises. You know, what we need is just one. And so in order for your life to be revolutionized, in order for your life to turn around from, you know, operating negatively, you need to search for that one word that will turn your life around. Now, I'm not just talking about, you know, we find we can get the Word of God. Like, for instance, you know, when I teach on vision for your life, vision, you know, having a purpose, one of the things that, you know, accompanies vision is a word from God. You know, he's not going to give you an assignment without a word to stand on. And so, for instance, in our ministry, in order for even the ministry to begin, he had to give me a word to stand on. And so as I go along, I base my teachings, I base, you know, what I do on that word that God has given me. You know, without vision, you will just be going all over the place. You know, you won't have direction, a sense of direction. But once you have the vision, you know, vision is basically the unfolding of divine plan and purpose. And so when that divine plan is unfolded, you know, you find you don't have to go back, you know, to be entangled in things that, you know, are not for you. You're not wasting time in the things that God did not, you know, call you to do. You know, you're focused and you're going, you know, you go forward and you see things happening. When that divine plan of God is being unfolded, you see your life turning around. Well, it's the same thing for, you know, this is on the level of vision, on, you know, ministry for the assignment that God gives you. But personally, you know, outside of the assignment, there's also a personal word that God may have given you for you or for your family. And once you find that word and you apply that word appropriately, you know, to your life, it will revolutionize you. I'm telling you, it will change everything. It will change not only you, but your entire family, especially for men who are supposed to be the head of the household. That's why most times I ask men, what's your vision for your family? And you'll be amazed that some men don't know. You know, I want to know, where are you taking us? You are the head of the household and we follow the head. And so where are you taking us? What's the vision for the year? Where are you taking us? What's the 5-year vision that you have for this? What's the 5-year plan for the family? You know, where do you see us in 5 years? You know, but people, some people are clueless. And so if you're clueless, you're just wondering. And you can't be wondering and wondering and wondering. You have to have a plan. God gives us a divine plan and divine purpose. And so how do we arrive at that, how do we arrive at that place or the destiny that God has ordained for us as, you know, families? Well, by following, by gaining light. You know, we should personally have a word that guides you, that word that you stand on, and you are being directed and led by that word. For instance, you know, Moses couldn't go back to Egypt from where he had fled of fear of being killed had God not given him a divine plan. There was no way. For 40 years, he ran away and he was in hiding for 40 years. Because he didn't know and he didn't have a plan. He feared that if he went back, he would have been killed. In fact, when God, met up with him and told him to go back, one of the things that he was trying to argue with God about is, you know, of course, coming up with excuses like, well, I can't speak eloquently and all this and all that, because he was fearful of going back. But when God unfolded the divine plan that he had for him, he was able to go back confidently and lead and deliver the people out of Egypt. Why? Because that revolutionized Moses. Just that word that God gave him in the bush, it revolutionized him. You see, and so there's a word for you and I. It's the same thing with Abraham. Abraham had been living with his family, his parents, and the rest of his family, that they had traveled all the way to Haran, and their father, you know, although he was supposed to go further, he decided to stop in Haran and camp there. You know, sometimes that's what we do as people. We'll camp in a place where, you know, it's supposed to be a place of transition, but we camp there. Well, this is what happened to Abraham. If you read the Bible, you'll find out that, you know, his dad was supposed to have taken them further, but they stopped there. Well, because God still had a plan for the people, his people, to enter the promised land, he needed somebody that he could use. Abraham was 75, so which means age doesn't matter. When God spoke to him, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, because sometimes we have excuses like Moses. Well, you know, now, you know, I'm old, I can't do this. Well, God can use you if you are available. All you need is light from the word of God. And so the Bible lets us know, because most of the times we just start reading from Genesis chapter 12, where the story of Abraham begins. But if you read prior to that, you'll find the history, the generations of the people and all that stuff. And, you know, that's when the people were one language and all that stuff. And, all this, the history of Terah. Terah was in Genesis chapter 11 is where you now find, you know, from verse 26 or verse 25, it says, and Nahor lived after Terah was born 119 years and had other sons and daughters. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of, at different times, Abram and Nahor and Haran, his firstborn. Now, this is the history of the descendants of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor and Haran, and Haran was the father of Lot. Haran died before his father Terah died in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldees. And so, and Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. But Sarai was barren and had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth to go from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. That's where they were supposed to be going, into the land of Canaan. It was Terah who was supposed to continue on. However, it says, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. So you see, he was on his way somewhere into the land of Canaan being the promised land. But they settled there. And Terah lived 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So, of course, God had a vision. They needed to get to the promised land. Somebody needed to carry that vision forward. So in the family, if you don't have the revelation or a vision for your family, you know, and maybe somebody started it in your lineage but has never fully taken it further, well, God is not going to stop because that person has died. That has to be carried forward. That's why you need a revelation. And so here, Abraham was married, all that stuff. They were in the Ur of the Chaldees. That's where they were. That's where Abraham met his wife Sarai and married and all that stuff. And so they came to Haran and they settled there. But that's not where they were supposed to settle. And so now God comes to Haran after Terah has died. And the Lord says to Abraham, go for yourself. Now he's found somebody there who can, you know, follow through with the rest of the vision for this family or for this group of people. And he says to them, go for yourself for your own advantage away from your country, from your relatives, and into your father's house and your father's house to the land that I will show you. That's the land that God was showing him. Wasn't it the same land that later on Moses had to take the people to? So it was a continuation. It didn't start at Abraham. It started actually prior to Abraham with his father. And so it was being, you know, he was supposed to continue going on and continue going on. But in the process, of course, he has children and those children needed to continue on all the way down to Moses, to Joshua and all that stuff until they arrived at the promised land. And so there is a promised land for you and I and for our families, but we have to know what the vision is that God has given for us. And, you know, sometimes you may not know your forefathers, but you can ask the Holy Spirit to give you that revelation. And sometimes, you know, not sometimes, all the time, it'll be in the Word. It's never going to be outside of the Word of God. It's always going to be in the Word of God. That's why you need to become committed to hunting and seeking the Word that God has for you that will revolutionize your family. Look at what happened when God now spoke to Abraham and said, leave your mother, father's house, leave all your relatives, and go to a place that I will show you. Then he promises him. He says, because in that place, I will bless you and I'll multiply you and, you know, all that stuff. He gives him that promise. So there was a place where they were supposed to be that, you know, was going to cause them to be so prosperous that the rest of the family who were visionless were going to just be wondering and just, you know, wondering how that happened. Well, God needed somebody. He didn't go outside of Terah's children. He picked one of Terah's children and he had to continue the legacy. Amen. And so that's why the Word of God is important. You and I have a very enviable inheritance in Jesus Christ, but it can only be delivered to you via the revelation of the Word of God. Just like Abraham had an enviable destiny, an inheritance, the children of Israel had an enviable inheritance, but it was only delivered by the Word of God. Now, they didn't have Bibles then, but it was delivered through the Word of God, through the prophets during the time. And, you know, when the Old Testament all the way through, it was through prophets being, you know, prophetic words being spoken to them. Well, you and I now have the prophecy, the Word of God in our hands. We don't need to be searching out for prophetic words out there when we have the Word right here in our hands. All we have to do is find that Word that will revolutionize us. In the book of Acts chapter 20, and verse 30, you know, that's why the Bible says, well, first of all, in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance and unfolding of your word gives light. And once you gain that understanding, your life will never be the same again. So in Acts 20, verse 32, the Bible says, and now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of the soul. So you and I are entitled to take delivery of only that which we can see, that which is in the word of God. Amen. That which we can find, whatever you cannot see, whatever you can, and seeing here, I'm talking about revelation. the revelation that you get, you and I, once you get that light and you get revelation of that word, you are entitled to get taking delivery of that which you see. That which you cannot see, you're not entitled to, because remember, there is a law that God established with Abraham. You may not know it as a law, but it is a law. In Genesis 13, verse 14 through 15, God said to Abraham after Lot had left him, he said, as far as your eyes can see. He says, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had left him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your posterity forever. That's the law right there. So that which you cannot see, God is not committed to giving it to you. So you can read the Bible, but if you're not seeing what God is saying, God is not committed to giving it to you, even if it is a promise in the Word of God. He can only give you that which you see. So you may find a promise in the Word of God that says that prosperity is God's will for you. But in order for you to take delivery of that prosperity, you have to see, you have to gain a revelation of that prosperity that you see. If you don't see it, if you don't, you know, you've seen that word, but if you don't get deep into it, the mystery behind that word is not unfolded to you, then you don't have the right to take delivery of it. You cannot, you know, it may be your inheritance, but you may not take delivery of it because you're not able to see it. And this law that God established with Abraham, it says, as far as your eyes can see, I will give that for all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your posterity forever. So for you and I, for anything, every word that we see, every word that comes to life, you know, every word that we see or the word that comes to light or revelation that we see, we are entitled. Once you have that revelation behind that verse or behind that word that you have received, then you're entitled, you know, to a delivery of that which you've seen. Without that, it's not going to happen. That's why a lot of people in the body of Christ read and read and read the Bible year in and year out, and their circumstances remain the same. Why? Because they haven't applied the law of seeing as far as your eyes can see. They have not applied the law of seeing it from the Word of God, and then it taking root in their lives, applying it, you know, according to, you know, appropriately in their lives, and seeing it revolutionize them. So the degree to which you and I will enjoy our inheritance in God is limited by the depth of our revelation. Because God said, until you see it, you can't get it. He's therefore urging us to pray to see it. And that's why Psalm 119, verse 18 is super important. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. We've got to pray for God to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so that we may see it. Because when we see it, God is committed to giving it to us. So I leave you today with this prayer point. Pray that you see. Pray that you will see. Pray, search, and seek according to the rules of the game. Because once you can pray that you can see what you're studying from the Word of God, when you see it, you will get it. You know, your most enviable heritage in Jesus Christ cannot be delivered without divine insight. You and I cannot receive what the Word promises without divine insight. That's why we need revelation, because revelation is what will open up our eyes. Revelation is what will cause us to see what God has already promised us, and that's what will help us to take delivery of that word that God has given us to bring a revolution in our lives. And so unless we can see, we will remain going around and around the same mountains like the children of Israel did until God said, arise from this place. You've gone around the same mountains long enough. And I believe, as you know, children of God, we've gone around the same mountains for too long. It's time for us now to see what God is saying so that we can take delivery of what he has already promised us, what is already rightfully belonging to us. And so my prayer is that God will open your eyes so that you may behold the wondrous things out of this word, out of this law that God has given to us. I pray that you've been blessed with this teaching. Thank you for joining me this week. I wish you all a blessed and prosperous Easter. And by God's grace, we will speak again on Monday morning. You have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.